Oh, Lord. Okay.
Well, all
right. We should
I
save
guess,
our good stuff for the podcast.
Let's, so many things. All right. And yeah. Okay. All right. Now I got it. So 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
One.
Hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, bienvenue, welcome to the happy hour.
Wow. Welcome back, listeners. It's another, episode of the happy hour. My name is David Auger, and I am at MetalDave02 on Twitter.com. I'm joined, as always, by Veronica.
Yeah, I'm at CHILE_Pepper on Twitter.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Beth is busy tonight. That's right. Beth is busy tonight, and she will not be joining us. So, with that being said, we are the Happy Hour at Happy Hour on Twitter.com and at Happy Hour Pod on Instagram. Thank you for our new followers on Instagram and for a lot of new followers on Twitter as well, I've noticed in the past week or two. Just it's great and encouraging because there's not a whole lot of like definite news coming out of the Habs sphere of the NHL. We get updates about some of the prospects and what they're doing. We see players doing their own branding stuff every once in a while. But as for real change, anything significant, I think there's only one bit of information that I have personally. What do you think, Veronica?
What do you mean change?
Oh, well, didn't you hear?
Oh, Churla?
Yes, exactly. Yes. There it is. Yeah. Yep, yeah. Shane Churla. And that's an interesting one. So the Florida Panthers picked up Shane Churla. And why is that important? He was the director of amateur scouting. I believe that was his title for the Habs. But he now has that same position for the Panthers. Now, again, why is this important? He was the guy, or at least one of the guys, that was really high on Kotkaniemi when he was picked. But also, just looking at the work these past few years, it's an impressive resume, because one of the things that the Habs lacked before the recent drafts was strength down the middle. Now we have Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, and things look a lot better in that front. Romanov, let's see here. I guess you could say Vedemo, you could say Otto Leskinen, you could say Matthias Norlander, Cole Caulfield, you know, just a whole slew of names that are really important for the future of the Habs. And Mr. Shane Churla was one of the voices, the important voices in the Habs brass to talking about grabbing him. Now, there's a bit of a caveat with this, though, because as much voice as Shane or Mr. Churla had, in these decisions, we can't forget about Trevor Timmins.
Yeah.
So the thing about Trevor Timmins is that in the past, he was the head scout for the Habs, for many years until he became the assistant general manager in 2016. I got in trouble for this before
that
when
sounds
I was
right to me.
Yeah. I recall when I was in Ottawa in Belleville for the
yes
rookie tournament.
Yeah.
This was the one that Nick Suzuki was playing at. So it was only like 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Grant McCagg because that's who I was with. And Grant was literally texting Trevor Timmins. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, tell him I think he does a great job being a head scout. And so Grant thought that was funny. Didn't tell me why. Texted Trevor this. And Trevor texts back, I'm the goddamn assistant general manager. And I said, oh. That's
July
right.
2017.
There it is.
There it is.
Okay, so yeah, so 2017. Cool.
Entering his 17th season with the Montreal Canadiens. So now it's been 20.
Wow. Look at that.
Wow. He's as old as Max.
Wow. His tenure is.
Yes. His tenure.
A whole life. Ain't that a pip. So now the thing is that, yes, Shane was super important, but Trevor Timmins. And I read this somewhere. It might have been from Grant, honestly, or perhaps Arpin or Eric Engels. One of those three.
One of them.
Yeah, one of those three on Twitter. They're all great followers, by the way. If you want some Habs news, they're the best place to get them. So they always, they had mentioned that Trevor Timmons was always the final say when it comes to players. So is this a huge blow for the Habs? I'm not too sure. I'm sure Shane, Mr. Chirla, is a nice dude. I'm sure he's great to have around in parties. But is it going to be a crippling blow to the Habs organization? I don't think so.
No,
I don't. I'm more interested to see who they pick up to replace him and if they even announce it.
Yeah.
So, anyways. That,
what
that
is
was
he
the,
now over there, Chirla?
Same thing. Director of Amateur Scouting.
Okay. Okay.
So he's essentially the head scout, I guess.
Florida sucked this year, didn't they?
They.
Surprisingly. I'm completely misremembering.
Oh, maybe. My God. How does. What happened last season?
Coach Q.
Oh, that's right. Coach Q. His there. First. See, that's the problem. Because, like, he's not a bad coach.
No. You know?
Yeah, no.
He's a good coach.
He is a good coach. Yeah, exactly. That's precisely true. Where the hell
I know.
Are these things? Okay.
I can't remember.
Florida,
anything.
Florida, Florida, Florida.
It's Florida. December next week.
It is December next week. Florida
up.
Placed below the Maple Leafs, 18th overall in the season. And gee, I don't even remember if they were in the playoffs. I mean, I'm like completely, I have no idea.
I think they were there for the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they weren't. Oh my God. This just happened. How can we not know this? Okay. NHL.com.
They were not in the play-in.
Oh, they didn't even make the play-in. Okay, so I was remembering correctly.
Or am I being dumb right now?
That they had a bad season.
Oh, of course. See, okay. So I go to the NHL website, and what does it say? It gives me the playoffs. It doesn't give me the play-in schedule.
Oh, for
heaven's sakes. Oh, man. That's one thing. The NHL, their holy hell, their website is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, it is. It's bad. Okay. Bad, bad, bad.
Let's see what's going on here. Sunday, okay. Blah, 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 blah.
2020.
All right. The Islanders beat the Panthers 2-1.
Okay. So they were in the play-in.
Yeah, they were in the play-in. Yeah. Islanders okay. took them, and that was it. Okay.
And that was
so it. So there it is. Good job, Florida. And now you have a new scout.
Yeah. So you can be good in about 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Years.
Did they pick up some kid before? I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care about them. Exactly. Yeah. So that was the major news I had from the Habs. Everything else is kind of whatever.
So, Arpin over at The Athletic posted the results of the survey, reader survey about the Habs.
Oh, this is always super interesting. We actually tried to get Arpin on this week, and he said, no, I don't want to be on your freaking podcast. And I was like,
please
wow.
Please talk about my survey.
He was actually super kind, but yes.
Well, of course he was. So he's taking some well-deserved time off.
Absolutely.
So this doesn't prevent us from talking about his or the Athletic's survey. So it was earlier this year, in April, the reader survey was highly pessimistic about the Habs. For example, one question was, back then, do you consider the Canadiens as they are currently constituted to be a playoff caliber team in 2020/21? And 62% of respondents said no.
Wrong.
37.8 said yes. 7 months ago, 62% of 1,993 respondents thought that. I guess that's when we had him on, eh? That must have been. Anyway, I was thinking it was last year. Yeah, I think it was April. And also, what are the Canadiens' chances to win the cup in the next 5 years? 42% said in 5 years. What? I can't understand what this is saying. All of that to say is that in this new survey from now, which is slightly smaller number of respondents, 1,514, which is also cool because 514, the 514, right? Right? Cool. And now, do you consider the Canadiens as they are currently constituted to be a playoff caliber team in 2020-21? 95.3 said yes.
What a swing that is.
95.3.
Holy hell. Yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah, and you mentioned it was like over 1,500 people that took the survey?
Yeah, 1,514.
So, yeah, that's not an insignificant number. That's a in statistical terms, that's a good data set.
I answered that survey very favorably, I might add.
And it's a great data set.
I'm with the majority for once. Excellent. It feels
weird. Wow. Welcome to the rest of the world.
The four most important decision makers in the organization are better perceived by the respondents than they were last April. The most glowing response was reserved for Marc Bergevin, who garnered near unanimous support for his active offseason.
Oh, my God.
Near unanimous.
Oh, my God. Do you have the comparable to last time that
so
was asked?
I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking at here. So, Mark, now, okay, so 33.2% of respondents gave him an 8 out of 10. And that was the highest,
Okay, so, and, right, Mark Bergevin, the brown noser, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so now, from April, it was actually not bad. 23%, which was the highest, gave him a 7.
Oh, okay.
And then this is now. If the Canadiens miss the playoffs in 2021, will Marc Bergevin be back as a general manager? 55.7% said no.
This for
would
for
it really
this
be
reason?
His fault?
Yeah, that's an interesting caveat to ask because so everyone's saying yes, we're going to make the playoffs. And now, wait, was the question if they missed the playoffs, whether or not he'll be around still?
He'll be out of a job, yeah.
Okay. So everyone's expecting the playoffs, and if we miss it, more than
it's
half the
fault.
People say he has to get the axe.
After rating him an 8 out of 10.
There is a, there's a bit of a disconnect there.
Yes.
And whatnot. Now, Claude, that's the bigger question.
Yeah, we're getting to him.
I don't know if this year is like the year yet.
You mean the cup?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure if this year is the year. Next year is where I'm thinking like everyone's going to be used to playing together and all that stuff. Plus, COVID's not going to be a weird schedule altering nonsense gremlin anymore.
And they have this, playoff. They were able to prove something to themselves. That was valuable experience that they got in the bubble there. But, I mean, I'm not making predictions now about what's going to happen in the playoffs because nobody's predictions are ever correct. Except for this year that Tampa Bay was going to win the cup. Nobody's predictions are ever correct. So, it's just you just got to wait and see. But I don't see them finishing 24th. I don't see them having 2 8-game losing streaks. And don't forget, it was interesting because I saw it over the weekend, Greg Wyshynski, who we should try to have him on sometime. He's really funny.
Hey, Greg.
You know him, hey?
Hey.
Greg Wyshynski, he writes for ESPN.
Oh, does he?
So he had a Q&A with Max Domi.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, who posted it over, and he posted it over the weekend. And it reminded me that was kind of... I guess there was something negative going on there with Max Domi too. He didn't have himself a great season. I'm not saying that we're gonna be better off because he's gone, but there's just like a certain, I guess, you know, I don't see anybody feuding with Claude Julien this year. Put it that way.
Oh, true. Yeah, the whole.
And don't forget all our new guys that we got.
The whole Max Domi thing was such a... I was disappointed. in a way.
I was too.
I mean, if I have any right to say anything, that's the thing. But like the playoffs, that was his opportunity to tell everyone to shut up, right? Yeah. And that did not happen.
No.
So that happens. Comments about the coach come out after the fact. And it's like, oh, man, digging himself a grave. You know, it's kind of like in the same lane as Poehling mentioned not working out in the offseason during COVID, the COVID pause. And that was like, come on, kid. You know, I have so many reasons to not like you. And you could have just lied. I would have been like, oh, so he's trying. But no, he said, no, I'm not trying.
No, I didn't even do anything.
Now, credit where it's due, takes a lot of, at least he's not a liar, but
yeah,
damn it.
Yeah.
That's not what you want, you know? So like he's another player to really step things up. But the thing with Max was super disappointing. I loved having Max on the team, but now we have ourselves, oh crap. Did we get Anderson for him or was it?
Yes. I want to make sure
I'm getting the right player.
We got a Jake and a Josh and a.
We got a Josh and a Josh and a Josh. And a
yeah, I think it was Anderson from Columbus.
That's right. Yes, that's completely correct.
Yes. And yeah, so we've got and Jake Allen, which we cannot discount.
No. Oh, was it this past week or the previous week where Stefan Waite weighed in on him, where he mentioned coaching Josh Allen compared
Jake
to
Allen.
Jake Allen. God damn it. See, it's, oh my God. Coaching
it's,
Jake
it's
Allen.
Contagious.
Compared to coaching, not Montoya, freaking.
Scrivens.
No, not Scrivens. Our last backup.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
God
whatever
damn it.
His name was.
What kind of half
this
name?
Is very, very bad.
Yeah, this is terrible because as soon as somebody leaves, they are just. Keith Kincaid. I had to think about like, okay, I'm picturing a tweet with a lot of emojis. Keith Kincaid. Okay, so Stefan Waite mentioned that the difference between Jake Allen and you know, coaching them both, Jake Allen and Keith Kincaid, is that they're on different planets. And I was like, holy crap! Or at least that.
Thank God.
Maybe not verbatim, but he had glowing review of coaching Jake Allen. So
call him a home run, I think.
Yes, something like that. Yeah. So that's like like you said, it's a whole other part of the team that we have to look forward to moving forward.
Yeah.
Because having two caliber goalies. Okay, that's all we needed.
That's all we needed.
While.
And I will point you back to maybe in February. When we had Paul Campbell on. Paul Campbell.
What a good
I think
dude.
That's his name. Paul. Goalie Paul.
Yeah. Way to go, Paul.
And
this was actually back in December last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And we were talking about goalies, obviously.
Because that's his thing.
Yeah. And then he said something like.
Great follow at Way to Go, Paul.
Way to Go, Paul. Yeah, he's great. He said something about picking up a backup in the off season and saying, you know, talking about the cap and all of that stuff. And he said that, you know, trying to keep it at a conservative salary. And I said, I think Brisbane's going to pay this year. And wasn't I right?
You are correct.
I'm right about anything.
And now the Habs, you were right about so much. And now the Habs, speaking of cap, are $300,000 over cap.
Uh-oh.
I mean, under cap.
Oh, under. Okay.
Yeah. So they're not. Okay. Yeah. They're in the green or the black currently. So
good.
That's very good. So there's that. And also,
will he
you
be
were
back
right.
Manager. Yep.
And you were right about Arpin. The last time we had him on was in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We had Paul Campbell on in March, at the end of March.
Right.
And Arpin Basu in April. So there it is.
Yeah, March and April.
Sweet. I hate how Anchor split up their episodes because it's not just one long list. It's pages, and I can't change it.
Oh.
Damn it. I hate when user interface is changed and they don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I got to click.
Well, and they're going to
click.
Oh, Anchor, not Anchor's kind of Spotify now too.
Yes, that's so right.
That they got bought out. Something to do with it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Honestly. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because of the way their stats are, it's harder to get to the stats now. I find.
Frick.
Hello to our listeners all over the world.
Yeah, thank you, by the way.
Okay, and then moving along to Jeff Molson. He stayed pretty much the same.
His approval
rating. 7 out of 10, basically. Well,
yeah, he gives us beer.
Yeah.
Imagine hating somebody that gave us beer.
And now, time appears to heal a lot of wounds when it comes to Claude Julien. Mm. And his highest rating is also, it's a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Trevor Timmons, kind of, 29.7 gave him a 7. 27.7 gave him an 8.
Ooh,
so he's right around the 7.5 category.
So already, so over 40% think he's higher than 7.
Yes.
Okay. 7 and higher, rather.
What do you think? Okay, Carey Price and Shea Weber. Price's performance in the playoffs was such a big sigh of relief for a lot of people, both inside and outside the organization. Though no one who collects a paycheck from the Canadien would ever admit as much, there had to be some doubt swirling internally about Price's ability to reach that level again. That was certainly the case externally, where Price's inconsistency and his annual November slump, combined with the years left on his contract at $10.5 million a year, created his fair share of anxiety among the fan base. The playoff performance apparently served the same purpose as a long, hot bath.
Mm.
What do you think of Carey Price's ability to be a top five goalie? 50.2% gave him a 5 out of 5. 35.5 gave him a 4. 0.9%, equaling 13 respondents, gave him a 1. Probably like Bruins fans or something.
That and like Showbiz or somebody.
Yeah, Showbiz. Ugh, Showbiz.
What a freaking... God.
And now... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that was this time. 50.2 gave him a 5. In April, he was still kind of there. 31.9 at 5 gave him a 5. 34.4 gave him a 4.
Mm-hmm.
59 respondents gave him a 1. That was April.
Wow.
Are you... Okay, this is another pie chart question.
Ooh.
Are you confident in the Canadien strategy to build around Carey Price and Shea Weber as their two cornerstones? 64.2% say yes.
Ah.
I remember.
I mean, that's practically Team Canada.
Yes.
So there it is. Cool.
Yeah, there it is.
Speaking Team of.
Canada. Oh, yes.
I haven't heard anything
is
about.
Coming.
Yeah, that and the World Juniors. But, like, are they still definitely having it?
Oh, God.
With how things are? Well, isn't it in Canada?
Well, and that was the other thing is that, definitely have it in Canada. And we might even have just a Canadian league this year and blah, blah, blah. Well, Canada's not doing so good these days with regards to COVID.
Yes.
So that's a concern.
But, and this is a big but, with two teams.
And I cannot lie.
And she cannot tell. that they're doing markedly better than the United States currently. Not to make it a pissing match about who's dying faster, but just saying, Canada has it a bit more under wraps than the U.S. But with that being said, regardless, I mean there's a whole lot of other stuff going on aside from COVID. When it comes to the World Juniors, which I'm pretty sure it's still on track for starting either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And then the NHL is supposed to start January 1st. However, and kind of derailing the current conversation, the whole CBA talk started coming in again, and it just flew through a lot of stuff into a grater. So we don't even know what's we haven't heard about the fallout from that yet. I'm not sure if there was supposed to be a meeting this week or what have you. I'd have to go through my notes.
Well, I was listening to Darren Dreger on TSN 690 today.
Darren Dreger.
Go to tsn.ca/Montreal or something like that. You can hear all the podcasts. Mm-hmm. And he said that there at that time this morning, there wasn't any meetings scheduled, but he didn't think that that's a big deal because these things seem to get scheduled on very short notice. So nothing on the docket as of this morning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But things appear to be a little bit frosty.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch too, because when the initial agreement was made, oh my God, what was it? 2 months ago, like after the playoffs, it was like, oh my God, thank God they figured it out. And now they just threw another wrench into the system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now a big old thing to figure out. But yeah, so no new news on that. Is there anything else from the survey?
I'm looking at here. It's still, schedule is unchanged for World Junior, so we'll see.
Oh.
Yep.
Well then.
IIHF events schedule. So far so good. Okay, one more thing. What was how confident are you about the Canadian pool of players 23 and under? An overwhelming majority of 64.3% gave them a 4 out of 5, and 14.7 gave them a 5 out of 5. What point range do you expect for Nick Suzuki in 2020-21? What point range?
That's an interesting.
So the overwhelming majority, 53.6%, have him at between 50 and 60.
Yep. That's what I was about to say. At least
29. Yep. 29.3% between 40 and 50. 10.6 have him at 60 plus.
Wow.
I think that's where I put him.
Of course.
I'm always very optimistic and favorable.
I say, I think 50 points, because it's the question of, we have new players, we have great players, but they're new. So they're going to be figuring each other out. But man, there's these new players. I mean, when we talk about Toffoli and Anderson, they're veteran players as well.
Yes.
So hopefully you can just, throw them into whatever line and they already know what to do, and the other players will be able to adapt to that. So it's still to be seen, but man, oh my God, it's like, it reminds me when we were talking to Monsieur Lacroix a couple or a few weeks ago, and big time excitement to see everything.
I'm very excited that we got a Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
0% of people, 0% are giving him less than 30 points.
Wow. Zero. No pressure there, Nick.
And now,
we
next
got your
question.
Mom on the freaking ID too, so.
And now, who do you think comes next?
Kotkaniemi.
What point range do you expect for the Sweet Baby Eagle in 2020-21? 55% have him between 40 and 50.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
29% have him between 30 and 40. There's a bunch of people that gave him, not that many actually, comparatively, gave him less than 30. 11.4 have him between 50 and 60.
Okay. So more spread out. They're expecting Nick Suzuki to be the point getter.
Maybe,
which is, we'll see, honestly.
We'll see.
Speaking of Kotkaniemi, his loan to Asat ended today.
Yeah.
What that means, I don't know, honestly. But he ended it, let's see, what was it, 8 points in blah, 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 blah games?
Crap, 6 points in 7 games, I think what our friend Patrick Bexell said.
This is in Finnish. I cannot read Finnish. What an interesting looking language.
I know, right?
My word.
I wonder what it sounds like.
I've heard it before because I listen to heavy metal. So tons, and again, another stat that I have mentioned before on the podcast. The country with the most heavy metal bands per capita of 100,000 people is Finland. It's something like 100 bands to every 100,000 people, and Finland is part of a heavy metal band or something.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
That's so
That's awesome. A lot of heavy metal. Oh, man. I'm about to head over to Bexel's.
We have to see what's on Jesperi's playlist.
Oh.
We don't know, do we?
He's not a metalhead, I don't think.
No?
He's more of a club kid.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. Right. Crap. At least that's what I think. Oh, yeah. So, for instance, Kotkaniemi, he had himself a 2-goal game the other day.
Yeah.
So he was finally starting to get his groove. A slow start in Assat, because Assat, they're a terrible team.
Sorry.
Almost hard to watch. Oh, no. Anybody that says Assat's doing fine, they're walking a tight wire there. But
so Arpin, who, as you know, he's had a tight connection with Kotkaniemi from the very, very start. He went over to Finland and met the family and all that stuff. He says the reason the loan to Assat ended was in the unlikely event the NHL hits its stated goal of starting on Jan 1, he would need to come to Montreal next week to quarantine for camp.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So cool. So he's doing the responsible thing.
Yeah.
What a good kid.
He's such a good kid.
What a good kid.
Okay. There's one more interesting. They're all interesting. What are your expectations for Alexander Romanov's first season?
Oh, here we go.
54.3. Oh, I think I fall in here too. Have him at third pairing most of the season. 23%?
Wow. I don't think that's true.
Wow.
I think he's going to be second pairing and up, honestly.
There you go. So the next tranche was 23%, Jeff Petrie's partner.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't see who.
I would put him there, and my God, if he does really well, first power play with Weber. Just do it. Throw him in there. Good luck, kid. No pressure. I've seen you skate backwards while handling the puck. You can do it, kid.
I have them being more conservative with him if they're not going to send him to Laval. If he's going to be with the big boys from day one.
That's another good point, too. But given the only reason, I'm not super high up on rookies, right? But with Romanov's different just because, and Bergevin did this to me, but the hype between me speaking to Grant and then just how hard Bergevin went after Romanov makes me think that they want him to be performing real quick.
That's very exciting.
They're going to be putting a lot of responsibility on him early on. It's his position to lose, in other words. And I don't think Romanov's the mindset to take it lying down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's super exciting. I can't wait to watch it.
Also getting married, I think.
And married with his panda shirt.
Yay!
Oh, my God. I wear this shirt because my girlfriend likes it. You know he's a smart guy.
That's exactly right.
You already know he's a smart guy.
When my boyfriend and I first started dating,
ooh,
I made a remark to him one time, because it's true. Everything that he wore was either gray or black. And I'm like, you don't wear any colors. And I just kind of made that remark. And now that's all he wears is colors.
Just colors all day.
Yeah, colors, all kinds of colors.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Okay. What Canadian acquisition are you most excited about? I know what I said. The distinct minority here. 55.2% are most excited about Josh Anderson. 35.7% Tyler Toffoli.
And I think I know
how. Do we get two Andersons? Joel Anderson, Josh Anderson, Joel Edmondson?
Joel Edmondson is the other one.
Yeah. But no, he didn't even factor in here. 8% said Jake Allen, and that I'm there in that 8%.
And too bad about Edmondson, because he's not a guy you can write off either. He was part of the Blues Cup run, you know, a couple years ago. He cannot be discounted. And he's probably going to be the only reason that Romanov would be moving around the D-core, I think. Now, Edmondson's not going to blow the doors off, but he's the same type of defenseman that Weber is, that Sherrod is. They're going to stay home, and they're just going to lay a beating down. And that's kind of, and now that the D-core is so much bigger now because of that. That's going to be...
Brendan Gallagher is so excited.
Oh, yes. So excited. And that's so always excited. Good.
Yep.
If Gallagher's happy, then that's okay. We're doing a good time.
He said there's not a team in the NHL that's going to look forward to playing them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Finally.
We have a...
tricking us.
Oh, we have
all of these names on this list. I feel like one of them isn't real. Jake Allen, Josh Anderson, Joel Edmondson.
Yep.
Tyler Toffoli,
mm-hmm.
Joel Anderson. That's like a mashup of Josh Anderson and Joel Edmondson. I wonder, like, is that a trick?
Is that...
Do we have a Joel Anderson?
Are you sure the pie chart didn't screw up?
Well, I'll send you a screenshot of what I'm looking at. Okay. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, I'll send you a screenshot.
Now I'm
so curious. Yeah, me too. We can always just look up the roster. Joel Anderson doesn't seem right. Just look at your phone. There you go. Okay, gone. And so so that was a good question. Joel Anderson. Thank you. Doesn't even ring a bell. What do you think of Josh Anderson's 7-year contract worth $5.5 million a year? 58.1, too much. Term.
They had to pay. They had to pay.
They had to pay
somebody. Yeah. You can't. Do I like it? Sure, it could have been cheaper, but all the players could have been cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they had to do what they had to do when it was happening. Because recall what was going on over the offseason. The Taylor Hall contest, right?
Oh, God.
And dictating, and that was going to dictate the price. And then Taylor Hall ended up going to, oh, my God.
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. Like, freaking
I guess you don't want to win after all.
I mean, now, you have to consider Eichel and Hall. Oh, Jesus, what a freaking pair to deal with. But, like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But
who the hell is Joel Anderson?
Exactly. No, I think it was like a trick.
I think somebody messed up. Because that's Google's finding anything.
He didn't even, he's not even.
Is it not Josh Anderson?
So there's Josh Anderson, Joel Edmondson, and then they just threw in a Joel Anderson. There's no Anderson on this roster.
All right.
Oh, yes, here. There is. Oh, yeah, Jay Anderson, the other one. But there's only one Anderson. That's weird, isn't it?
What is happening?
That's so funny. Okay. What do you think of Brendan Gallagher's 6-year contract worth $6.5 million a year?
Yep.
48.6, fair deal. 33%, good value for the Canadien. 15.1%, too much term. As if.
That's gonna bug me. You're gonna have to.
I know.
You're gonna have to yell at Arpin.
I know. I'm just like, maybe they're tricking us and seeing if we're paying attention.
Yeah, really.
Like
Arpin, do you guys even read what you write?
If Philippe Dano wants no less than $5.5 million a year on his next contract, the Canadien should. 45.5% say sign short term. 27.7% lock them up long term. And 16.1% say trade him at the deadline.
Oh boy.
So the names,
coming up for next year for signing, Tomáš Tatar. I don't think he's long for the Habs, unfortunately.
And that is the next question. Who's not going to be wearing a uniform in 2021-22? 54.9 say Tomas.
Yeah. Other names would be Philip Deneau, Joel Armia, Arturi Lehkonen, Jordan Wheel, and, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Already.
Paul Byron is on that list.
See?
As well.
No, he's not.
He's Byron's... on the list of which of these players is least likely to be wearing a Canadian uniform in 2021-2022. He was the second. He got the second most votes.
Oh, interesting. He has a contract out into 2023-2024. The thing about Paul Byron, he's fast. Yes. He's great on the power play because of that. Yes. He's great on the penalty kill because of that. Yes. He is a great asset. The thing that people forget about all the time with Paul Byron is that he shares something very specific with Brendan Gallagher in that he is an assistant captain.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Deneau's not an assistant captain.
No.
Jonathan Drouin's not one. Nobody. It's Brendan Gallagher and Paul Byron are the assistant captains to Shea Weber. And that's always super interesting to me. Because a lot of people like being very flippant with Paul Byron, and I try not to be because of that point. He's well respected in the room, definitely respected among the brass, and I mean that's it.
Yeah. We said it on the Happy Hour one time when we first started recording, and after that terrible season, Brendan Gallagher and Paul Byron were both given the A's, and we said it was like those two and Weber were the ones who just were determined every single game, even in a losing season. And there they go. They're both wearing those letters.
And also, just another added thing that I just noticed, for next year's draft, we have 14 picks. Just another veritable wealth. I imagine that we're probably going to be trading a lot of those, but who knows? We'll see. We got one pick in the first round, two in the second round, and then three in the third, three in the fourth, three in the fifth, then the sixth and seventh. So just an interesting thing there.
Yeah.
Was there anything else on the survey?
Just an interesting question. Where do you think the Canadian would finish in an all-Canadian division between Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal? 44% said third, 32% said second, and 12.7% said fourth. And I'm in that one. 7.7% said first place. That's me.
Good job. I wouldn't expect any less.
No.
Who would they lose against outright? I hate to freaking say it, but I'd have to say Vancouver.
Okay. Well, we took Toffoli. Vancouver did not have a great offseason because they finally had to start paying the price for flagrant spending spree.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like Toronto, I'm not super worried about, but it's like, there's a lot to consider. And I'm not even thinking about the Jets and the poor Jets. I don't even know what to think about them anymore. Calgary, Edmonton, man, with the McDavid and Draisaitl combo. That's a freaking thing. So Vancouver and Edmonton are the two teams where I'm like, oh, they have a lot of firepower and they're just wily, you know. Like if there are two teams that can get under the Habs defense, it's those two guys, and those are the two guys where I'm like, I don't know what to do. And keep Toronto off the power play, for God's sake.
Yeah. Oh my God, I wonder what's going to happen to our power play.
Oh, my Lord. Aside from that, I'd easily say top three for the Habs. If they get fourth, I'd be like, oh, come on. You know, but we'll
see.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, we'll see what even happens. Mm-hmm. And the final question, if money and geographical location were not an issue, under what conditions would you be willing to go to the... Oh, I just found another typo. Would you be willing to go to the Bell Center in 2020-21? 41.1%? And that's me. Only after a vaccine.
And that's the smart thing.
Yeah, that's it. 21.1 say they would be comfortable at a 0 to 50% capacity. It's crazy. I would not be comfortable. Full stop, 16%. 12.8 rapid testing at the entrance. Nope.
Yeah, that's not the no.
No, rapid testing is, yeah. It was really interesting because I was talking to one of my coworkers who he's British. But you know how the Brits love their rugby?
Yeah.
He said it was so bizarre because he was watching a rugby game that they're playing in New Zealand and the place is packed.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, it was just such a strange thing to see because they're fine.
Yep, they're fine. New Zealand is fine. There are parts of the world that do not have to deal with this anymore, and they're all not first world countries. Well, I mean, some of them are actually. New Zealand, okay. Sorry,
yeah,
New Zealand
is, yes, yeah, sorry.
Definitely are. I'm thinking like Taiwan, for instance, which actually, would they be considered first? All right, here's my Western bias coming out now.
Exactly.
Throw that sentence out. I apologize. That was very crass of me. But some Eastern countries.
Countries in the East, like Korea?
Yes. Countries in the vicinity of the Sea of Japan, I'll phrase it like that, are doing rather well. Japan actually kind of isn't. Granted, what's bad for them is that they get 500 new cases a day as opposed to deaths a day. So right, there's a caveat there. But like there are other countries handling this way better than the U.S., Canada, France, Germany, the U.K., you know, and it's startling how different it is.
Yeah. I think there's a problem here because people are so tired of dealing with the pandemic and the distancing and all of that stuff. And they want to give themselves these moments of joy, and people want to be with their families at Thanksgiving and everything else. And I understand that sentiment, but you just can't do it.
Right.
You can't do it. We're almost there. And by almost, I mean, we're about 8 months away from a vaccine being administered generally. I know Justin Trudeau has already bought every Canadian or prepaid for every Canadian to get two doses.
Yep.
Obviously the United States is going to get their act in gear in the short term.
Speaking of Pfizer and Moderna, both New York based companies. You're welcome.
And now AstraZeneca is in on the act as well.
And the AstraZeneca thing, yes, as well, that one. And AstraZeneca, as they say, can be stored in a refrigerator instead of like a absolute zero cooler.
70 below.
Jesus. So good job. Good job for those eggheads over in Oxford.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, smart people.
Thank you, smart people. Would have been nice 8 months ago.
And thank you so much, too, for everybody who participated in the program.
And the trials. And the
trials. Received vaccines. I saw a fellow on, he was talking, a guy from Washington State. He was interviewed, and he was one of these trial participants. And he said that he decided to do it because... the first recorded case in the United States was in Washington State. And he said he has two daughters, and he said he would do whatever he could to you know, say that he played a little part in, you know, making these vaccines.
That is a big part, being a guinea pig for science.
Yeah. Yeah.
For him. Good for him. Because
I think that one of these people died, didn't they?
I don't recall.
I recall something about that, but yeah.
But I can imagine that would happen. Because, I mean, you're dealing, as a computer programmer, what you're doing is that you're essentially taking the virus, ripping it apart, splicing it to another virus that isn't as harmful, putting it into a person with the hope that the person's immune system is smart enough to decode what you just Frankensteined.
Yeah.
And then that Frankenstein's monster is remembered by your immune system, and then, you know, it can battle against COVID. Now, one of the things about the, AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca, thank you. About the AstraZeneca vaccine is that they believe their formula would be able to prevent COVID from being shared among people. So say if somebody has it, they take the vaccine, like it becomes quote unquote trapped within the body. So with that being said, we may not need to have like a COVID shot every year as we do with the influenza and the flu. And I thought that was huge, because
I didn't know that.
Sure. That, you know, we'd have to get COVID boosters every year now because of how idiotic people are being. And that would be super good news. Good job, science.
You think the anti-vax crowd is going to... Because that worries me.
They are going to not have a good winter.
Nope.
That's the only way I can put it.
Anyway, that is the end of the survey.
What an incredible survey. Make sure you get on Arpin's case about whoever Josh is.
Joel Edmondson, Josh Anderson.
Oh, Joel.
And Joel Anderson.
Yeah, definitely doesn't exist. I've been looking up and down for that name and I can't find it. If somebody on Twitter can correct me, please, because that does not ring a bell. So now we have a very, very, very important thing to celebrate today.
Yes.
As opposed to everything else that's been going on. It is the birthday of none other than Numero Uns, Saku Koivu.
Koivu. Is that today?
It is today.
I thought it was yesterday.
Oh, wait. I can't be
I'm
wrong.
Probably wrong.
No, the NHL account says it's today.
Okay.
So I'm going to just going to say yes. He is 46 years young, that man.
What? He still looks like he's 21.
He looks like a child. Man, if the Habs can bring him in. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What a joyous thing that would be. I'd be very pleased. Saku Koivu.
46. When did that happen?
Today. Also, in other news, Cole Caulfield has finally scored a goal for the Badgers in their thumping a 6-2 decision against Penn State, it looks like.
Wow.
If I'm up to date, because that was just tonight. I think it ended 6-2. So good for them. Finally. So Cole Caulfield finally lights that up. And then some non-Habs news in that Kendall Coyne, recall her skating at the All-Star skills competition a year or two ago. She is now the first ever female player development coach in the NHL for the Blackhawks.
Yes, that's right.
Blackhawks are doing everything they can to distract from their terrible logo.
We'll do this good thing. Just don't look at that bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then, let's see. We're coming on our time here. But one other thing I wanted to mention was Cam Hillis is starting the Hillis Foundation. And in a tweet, he mentioned, proud to launch the Hillis Foundation, working to inspire all kids through the power of sport. They have partnered with CT Jumpstart to give kids a sporting chance. And in particular, what this means is that the 20-year-old, I'm just reading this verbatim from the article, the 20-year-old launched his own foundation, Hillis Foundation, which partners with the Canadian Tire Jumpstart charities to give as many possible kids the chance to try sports, fall in love with any game, make long-lasting friendships, and learn everything sport has to offer. So children that have a rough go of it, underprivileged, things of that nature, the Hillis Foundation will seek them out, give them a hand to start out a sport of their choosing, not only hockey. And I think that's very cool. Very mature for Mr. Hillis.
Yeah.
Imagine starting a foundation at 20.
Unquiab. Jonathan Drouin has one too, but he was a little bit older. That's awesome. And Thomas Tata announced today the launch of ThomasTatar90.com. They've got awesome shirts and t-shirts and hoodies and stuff for the whole family. He's excited to announce, he's going to be donating all proceeds from the sales to his amazing partner, Dawson Boys and Girls Club.
Perfect. There
it is. At DawsonBGC on Twitter. Thomas says, I've witnessed firsthand the Dawson BGC commitment to community and well-being, and I wanted to help out a bit more. Check out the site, and I hope to see lots of tuna shirts around Montreal.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Perfect. That's
great.
So
for all of your tuna needs.
Yeah.
Tuna.com. Well, that's not the website. Just go to his Twitter account and you'll find it.
ThomasTatar90.com.
ThomasTatar90.com.
90. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. The numerals.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. I just saw something funny. Rachel Maddow. She's on mute. She's the screen behind her says, clean up on aisle 45.
I get it.
Yeah, I get
because
it.
Because in the United States political news, Donald has not conceded. However, the office in charge of starting the transition has formally started the transition. So
yep.
The president-elect Biden will finally be able to get security briefings. He'll get coronavirus briefings. Yeah, he just wants to work. Today, he announced his cabinet, for God's sake. And of all things, John Kerry coming back into the fold as their climate advisor.
That's big.
It is. Well, it's big because something that I didn't know is that John Kerry was the guy that signed the United States into the Paris Climate Accord.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. So it all comes full circle for him.
Yeah. Very smart.
Good.
First Hispanic Homeland Security guy.
Mm-hmm. I saw that name. I'm like, oh, some white people are not going to like that.
Nope. First woman head of DNI.
Yes.
So it's pretty cool.
And first woman head of the Treasury Department.
As well.
So a lady is going to be holding the books. She has the key to the vault.
Yep. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah, it's going to be a culture shock at the White House. I swear to God. Imagine not hearing anything about the White House for a day.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I mean, and Twitter suspending Donald's account. Finally. Terrible.
It was nice looking at those faces, and I'm like, I don't recognize any of them.
Exactly. I haven't heard of any of these people except for John Kerry.
Exactly.
I don't know any of them. None of them are a pundit anywhere. All of them are career politicians and bureaucrats, and that's exactly what I want. I want somebody working the job because they worked the job. it makes you wonder.
Thank God.
Holy crap.
It's been exhausting.
Imagine putting people where they ought to go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hiring somebody who knows how to do the job.
Imagine that.
Instead of hiring them because you saw them on a reality show or on Fox News.
Imagine that. All right, closing
very
minute.
Exciting. Okay, closing minute. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
Thanks, as always, to our listeners.
We actually had a little bit to talk about tonight. That's good. We're going to yell at Arpin. We swear to God, we're going to yell at Arpin later.
Oh, and I finished a crown.
Oh my Lord.
So good.
So good.
And I don't know what to say right now. I thought that we were going to see the Pope. Because I saw online scenes with a Pope. So it's weird. Maybe season 5 is closer than we think.
I wonder.
Like maybe, yeah.
I wonder if they can even tape while COVID's going on.
I know.
Damn it.
Because that's such a huge undertaking. Like, you're talking crew, bubbles, all that
everything.
Stuff. Everything.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.